Hey, what's up, guys? This is Gian of Gadget Pilipinas, and welcome to the 9th episode of the official podcast of Gadget Pilipinas. In this episode, we'll discuss about Facebook's new holding company's name, Meta, Google Pixel 6 series, the new Qualcomm mid-range and budget processors, and an overview of Intel Alder Lake and Z690 motherboards. Joining me in today's episodes are, of course, our EIC, Eman Tortosa, PC Review Lead Grant Soriano, who is officially back in Manila, and our news editor, Ram Ronquillo. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hello. Hello.
Sir Eman, kamusta ka na? Yan. Sir Eman, ano, level 60 ka na ba?
Di pa. Pero malapit na. Yeah, hopefully this week, the next week siguro.
Yeah,
pag may oras.
Just so you know, guys, we're playing New World. Eh. So si Eman is one of the sweaty boys.
Wow.
The New World. The new cows, no? Anyway, how about you, Ram? Kamusta?
Okay lang. New World, medyo stuck ako sa 55, pero I've also been busy this week. Maraming pumasok this week.
Oo nga, so, no? Techtober kasi, di ba?
So,
hindi mapigilan na October sa dami ng mga nilo-launch, no? And syempre, especially sa ating ngayon, si Grant, who is now, as I mentioned earlier, officially back here in Manila. Kamusta sa sarang biyahe?
Yes, yung biyahe, okay lang. Sobrang bilis kasi sobrang konti ng mga kotse sa daan do. May mga checkpoints. Especially if you don't have your vaccine card, kawawa ka. But now, yun, dito na ako sa Manila. Ang pinakauna kong ginawa, uminom ako agad ng Tim Hortons. And after that, umulan na ng mga Z690 motherboard which we will be talking later.
We noticed that you posted a few photos of the motherboards and also gave us some overviews. Later, you will be giving us, as you mentioned, some overview of these devices or these parts, no? At syempre, Tim Horton, baka naman! So,
yes, please, baka naman!
Sobrang paborito namin ng Tim Hortons, no? Every time na sinusundo ko si Reza sa office niya before, Tim Hortons yan, automatic. Ayan. Siyempre, Tim Hortons, dyan nagkakape ang mga tao, no? At kadalasan yung mga tao dyan sila nag-Facebook lang. But did you know, for our first topic for today, guys, pag-usapan na natin, diretso na tayo, Facebook. They now have a new holding company's name. So from Facebook, nagbago na ang kanilang pangalan. So alam nyo naman na siguro yan, it's called Meta, and I believe Ram wrote a news about it. And as you guys know, this is a huge change, no? Kasi dati, ang pangalan ng Facebook ay The Facebook. Did you know that? And then they changed.
Hindi ba sila Facebook company?
The Facebook. Oh, yes, that's right, no? And they dropped the and then now, they recently became Facebook. And there is a reason, probable reason. People have been really talking about the sudden change, no, to Meta. And for all you know, no, alam niyo naman, hindi lang si Facebook yung talaga nagkaroon ng facelift in terms of name. Kung hindi niyo naaalala, si Google, yung kanilang holding company, they also changed it to Alphabet, no? So alam niyo naman, ang holding company niya hindi Google, it's Alphabet. And the same goes with Philip Morris, yung sigarilyo. They're not Philip Morris anymore. They rebranded to Altria. So, there are actually reasons why these things happen, probably because of hate speeches, because of some rebranding, forced rebranding, because medyo nagiging untoward yung outlook or tingin ng mga tao doon sa brand na yun. And I think this change, sabi ng maraming tao, one of the reasons why it is doing this pala is because of the recent leaked internal documents provided by former Facebook employee and whistleblower Francis Hogan, no? Yung regarding sa police hate speech, kung paano nila fine-filter within Facebook. Naging malaking issue in the past few weeks, no? At nag-grill si Mark Zuckerberg. But for them, I think hindi naman yun siguro, no? I don't see any reasons kung bakit yun lang ng dahilan, no? And then this has been in their pipeline naman ever since. In fact, in one of the news covered by Screen Rant, prior to the rebrand, was that si Facebook in their third quarter earnings, they sunk about 10 billion worth into their Facebook reality labs. So, alam nila na magda-drop yung kanilang income to 10 billion because they're using the 10 billion to increase their researches on virtual reality. So, nung nangyari yon, nung in-announce yun, parang napangunahan na yung probable rebranding nila and reconstruction and refocus to virtual reality and augmented reality. Kaya nga, di ba naalala nyo, nagkaroon ng parang leak na they will be rebranding to something else.
Hmm.
At ayun na nga, nag-rebrand na nga sila. And last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, they laid out the full metaverse roadmap. So Facebook is now Meta, and Mark Zuckerberg, during the launch, he kept on mentioning the word metaverse because the metaverse that he's actually talking about is basically involving Facebook Reality Labs, yung FRL, yung binuhusan nila ng 10 billion worth na pera. At saka syempre the family of apps that they have, which include Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, etc. Now, yung Facebook Reality Labs na nabanggit ko kanina, it actually involves VR, AR, and metaverse operations. It's more of like anong game to, yung player na player ano, Ready Player One. So if you watch Ready Player One, people have been talking about the similarities of the vision of Meta to the Ready Player One movie. So parang ganun yung nangyayari, no? And if you also watch yung recent movie na ni Guy Fall, hindi pala Fall Guy tawag doon. There's this movie na he was ang role niya ay isa siyang NPC in the game. So parang ganun. People have been talking about it and they're saying na parang parehas, no, yung sinasabi ni Mark Zuckerberg dito during the 1 hour presentation of the CEO of the guy, no? And this metaverse that he's saying include virtual fitness, may exploration, may workplace activities, and syempre meron ding dong opportunities yung mga programmers at saka yung mga artists to create their own art and make it available in the marketplace. So, meron nang usap-usapan about NFTs, yung possibility of people, you know, getting into the NFT space within the metaverse ecosystem. And, sidetrack lang ako ng konti, alam nyo ba guys, no, na yung palang Photoshop ay meron ng recent feature ng minting capabilities. So, ibig sabihin, if you're using Photoshop, Adobe Photoshop, you can create your art there and then you can instantly mint it para mabenta mo na siya agad sa marketplace.
Oh,
yes, galing. No. So, ang galing. So, ano, medyo wild yung future. It's really going to be a wild and different future, especially with what's going to happen now with Facebook. Katiting lang tayo nung sinabi ni Zuckerberg, family of apps. Nandun lang tayo. Kaya nga yung application na ginagamit natin, Facebook, it will not change. It's still the same thing. But it will be a different case if you hop in to the virtual reality. So if you have Oculus Quest 1 or Oculus Quest 2, it's a different world out there. You know, it's a different world. So kaya nga nung right after ng announcement ng metaverse, people actually jumped into their own Oculus Quest and Oculus Quest 2 to find out what's actually new. And they sort of kind of experienced some of the things that Zuckerberg mentioned. Ngayon, tanong ko ngayon guys para sa inyo, mabilisan lang comment. What can you say about this change, no, sa Facebook that is now known as Meta? Let me first ask Eman. Eman?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, it's always nice if the company is looking forward to the future, no? And it's looking bright for you know, for Facebook, not just Facebook, but I think the entire user experience that we could get, no? With the advancement kasi in technology rin naman, I think it's just timely rin that, you know, they introduce something like that. And if we're gonna have like new ways to enter, kasi ang nakikita ko sa kanya is that they are investing heavily in augmented reality and virtual reality. Kasi I think with the trend going right now, no, that everything is going online, everything is going virtual, baka, you know, there will come a time na parang yung mga meeting natin will no longer be like parang audio lang, video lang, baka mamaya pwede ng VR, no? And there will be probably more ways to interact with people in that meeting. Like for example, ang makikita ko dyan is like, say when you want to share a video, you want to share a document, parang there are gonna be more ways to do that rather than just, you know, clicking buttons, parang ganun. So it introduces the next level of, it's sort of parang the gateway to the next chapter in you know, the user experience itself. So parang ganun.
Right.
Yun nakikita ko at least on the Facebook side, no. Si Meta. I mean, marami naman companies kasi that do that, 'di ba? There are groups of companies who call it parang for example, si Jollibee, 'di ba? Si Jollibee JFC is like sobrang daming restaurants under it. But it's still Jollibee Foods Corporation at the top, so parang ganun. So I think they're just, you know, I guess with what's happening to them, it's very timely that, you know, they do it. No, and then basically parang they're instead of focusing on why they did that, it's like they're just focusing now on ito yung what we can bring, no, what we're investing on, no. So, and that's a good thing, no, kasi it's bringing a positive light into what's happening, no? parang ganun. To me, it's a good step forward, and if it can deliver, you know, a better user experience for customers on whichever platform they are, and I think that the panalo naman yung consumer dun. So I think it's a good thing, no?
Alright. Thank you, Eman. How about you, Abraham?
I'm just curious how they implement it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm not totally sold on VR. I don't have, cause you know, you need a headset or like you need something to support your phone.
Right.
To be able to appreciate VR, and I have none of those. So I'm not sold yet. But it'll be interesting to see how they market it, how they implement it, and how they make a holistic experience. Because I think with the Oculus Quest, like they can do quite a lot with it, and they can make like you know, the anime Sword Art Online.
Yes.
Oh. They can actually do something like that, no? So imagine like New World pero VR. Wild nun. but again, will all depend on how they implement and how they execute it. Cause as much as in an ideal world, parang it sounds like, oh wow, VR and all that, but it all depends on, one, the technology, and two, how, if people are willing to adopt that technology and use it, because that'll mean that everyone will need to buy VR headsets, which, you know, with PCs actually being bought more now, I don't think people will be willing to buy a headset just for a meeting. If you have alternatives, if you have stuff like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, and if you're a gamer, probably Discord. So I'm not sure, like I'm pretty sure this is like further down the line kind of thing, but I'd like to see it and to see it once they announce it before holding any judgment, because it's really hard. It's like yung mga, you know how like back in the 90s, like we had a different view of like the 2000s and what that's gonna be like. So it's kind of that kind of thing. na parang, paano kaya to? So like it'll be interesting how they execute, implement, and integrate having headsets, VR headsets for people on a regular basis.
Yeah, they have parang there's a tall order for them to roll it out. Although they know naman that it's going to really sort of they expect losses from this from the first few years. But definitely. Yeah, it's a good angle to take. No, thank you, Ram. How about you, Grant?
Well, I had a good laugh with all the memes and yung mga spoof ng mga brands na riding on the new Meta. But what my main concern is about Facebook's restrictions, kasi I don't know if you know this, Boss Gian, but if your Facebook account is disabled or parang banned, you can't use your Quest. So yun yung nangyari sa akin the entire duration when I was Zach. So if Facebook or Meta is planning to make a multi-social networking system na you all just have to use one Meta account, if you're parang penalized on the other, then the rest would not be usable. So I think that's something that needs to be addressed, especially if the whole internet is very dependent on Facebook, lalo na yung nangyari recently where Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp were down for how many hours. So that's my main concern for the upcoming metaverse.
Yeah, I believe one of the things that they said is that they're dropping the requirement for the Facebook account. Diba? Dati, wala yun, diba? And then they required it. Kaya nga ako nagkanda hetok-hetok din yung account ko before dahil I had to log in using my Facebook account because it was needed, it was required, and then I had to go through support pa just to proceed. And then now, after that announcement, they mentioned that they will be dropping that na. They will still be saying a few more parang guidelines kung paano i-roll out yun. Kasi, si Oculus Quest, siya ngayon ata ang nangunguna in terms of VR headsets being used by consumers. So, ang laki nun, ang laking player base nun. And if re-require mo lahat ng yun na magkaroon ng Facebook account, talaga umaalma yung mga tao. And you're right though when you said na it's really a big issue if they're really aiming for multi-social media platform just to be able to experience their stuff. No? So, that's a very good insight. But if I may add, siguro before I go and turn it over to another person, would be syempre yung security. It's a big aspect that I believe Facebook should really aim to, not perfect but really be good at. Talagang kailangan na kailangan. Kahit sabihin mo na puro avatar lang yan, no? But still, handling accounts na dynamics . So how are they going to do it and how are they going to maintain it down the line? And speaking of line, no, there is of course a new lineup of smartphones right now that was announced by Google, and this will be discussed by Ram. What's up, sir?
Impressive talaga nung na-segue mo, sir. Next level, please.
Placement, sir. Placement.
I was thinking, paano kaya segue na to? Before I start with the Pixel 6, I just wanted to add to the metaverse thing. It's I find it actually pretty interesting that they decided to go VR, because as far as I know, like there's a huge shift. Like I think many years ago, a lot of people are like, oh, VR is the next thing, and then suddenly it's gone. So it's an interesting timing for Facebook to
enliven, no?
Parang like, but why did you think about it and why now? But you know, they probably have the tech for it now, and they probably have the money to back it up. So you know, by all means, diba? Parang it's an interesting rhyming thing for me. But moving on. Mm-hmm. So Google finally released the Google Pixel 6 and Google Pixel 6 Pro. The funny thing is, before the phone was launched, basically all of its details were leaked in every media outlet. Yung it started with the look of it, and then the specs slowly leaked out, and kinulang na lang yata yung presyo, pero I think if I can remember correctly, someone leaked the price as well. So, you know, this is an interesting way to do things. So the Google Pixel 6 and 6 Pro, what makes it really, really unique, for at least, you know, visually and for me, is that there's a huge overhaul in design. So the both phones right now have a... Okay, imagine this. So like the back of the phone, across the top part of it, there's a band. So think Cyclops laser. Yeah, and then that's where your cameras are, along a horizontal band, and then below it and above it you have two-tone colors. So it's really unique as far as color is concerned. It's not gradient. They didn't go for like textured. They went for two-toned, which you know, for me, I've said this multiple times, and I'm always in it for the uniqueness of things, because my thing with tech, like, I sometimes judge a book by its cover. So like if I see a device like, oh, this looks like that device, it's like, it's probably not gonna pique my interest, like as a consumer. But as far as like devices like these, or I think it was a Sony Xperia Pro 1. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, that was pretty unique. But anything that looks unique and different to me just stands out, and Google Pixel 6 and 6 Pro is that. Another unique thing about it is that Google made its own silicone, so they're going the Apple route here. They're not using Qualcomm chips, they're not using MediaTek chips or any other already existing chips. They made their own. It's called Google Tensor. Like totally new. The thing with Google Tensor is that Google did not really disclose like a lot of the details of the chip. They said that there are two high performance cores, two mid cores, and four high frequency cores, which I think is normal. A 224 configuration. With a 20 core GPU. Again, I'm not too much into hardware, but according to Google, comparing it to the Pixel 5, which is the predecessor, Pixel 6 is 80% faster in CPU performance.
80.
And you know, that's pretty small. According to Google, the GPU performance is 370%. 370%. That's beyond the 100. Again, I can't tell if this is how good it is in the real world, but it should be better than the Google the predecessor. Obviously they want it to be. But of course, one of the highlights of the Pixel series, well, at least from what I've seen, because we don't have Pixel available here in the Philippines, is a camera. And the rear camera is comprised of a 50 megapixel main camera, a 12 megapixel ultra wide camera, and that's on the regular Pixel 6. The Pro has an additional 48 megapixel telephoto with 4x optical zoom. And before I forget, before I move on, there was a Redditor that received this Google Pixel 6. And he went to Reddit and he's like, hey guys, I got my Google Pixel 6. What do you guys want to see? And one of the requests for him was to run a GPU test. which makes sense because, you know, kind of want to see you want to gauge the performance of the new Tensor chip because, again, it's a totally new chip. Correct. And it's not like, let's say, the Snapdragon 888 na, where you already know what to expect from it. And as far as the 3D, and he used the 3D Mark benchmark, right? Mm-hmm. The wildlife test, it scored in his test, as far as his test goes, it scored 6,666.
6,666,
yes. Okay. On the wildlife. In comparison, the Galaxy S21 with the Exynos 2100 scored 5,668.
Right.
And the Snapdragon 888 on the Mi 11 scored 5,599. So 6,666 is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's about the how Huawei Mate 40 Pro performs. But that's way higher than ROG Phone 5.
Yeah, again, on paper, it's good.
Yeah.
On the Wildlife Extreme, which I think if I remember correctly, is the heavier test of 3D Mark, it scored 2,028 compared to 1,793 on the Exynos 2100 and 1,494 on the Mi 11 on the Snapdragon 888 on the Mi 11. So again, this is like a huge leap as far as 3D Mark is concerned. As much as I'd want to believe it, it's a benchmark. We've seen, not saying that it is true, but we've seen phone makers and chip makers adjust, perform better in benchmarks. We've heard that before. I'm not saying Google or any of the phone makers that I mentioned do it, but it has been. It has been believed to be done, so it's kind of hard to gauge with this, especially since we don't have a sample of it. Baka naman, Google.
Google, baka naman. Well, it wouldn't hurt.
Hey guys, English.
Google, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe please.
Google, you might wanna, you know, send us some. Maybe in Philippines. Maybe open a Philippines.
Yeah, why don't they? You know, might as well sell it here, right?
Maybe offer it in the Philippines. Maybe Google, wink, wink.
Hashtag Team Pixel.
That's what I really don't understand. No, is that they're. You know, they have good phones, but you know, with that kind of availability, you know, I just really don't get the reasoning behind it. You know, why they're not offering it in more markets?
It makes us tech boys sad because we as much as we want to try the phone, it's like so close yet so far.
Sad boys.
So continuing on the spec sheet, the batteries are fairly small, if I remember correctly, like 4,000 and 5,000 respectively. Not exact amount, of course. But overall, I think design wise it looks good. And one of the main features that Google showcased with the Tensor chip is not the performance exactly like real life. It's more of the AI capabilities. So they added in stuff like Magic Eraser, which, for example, you have a photo, there's a photo bomber right behind you, and you want to delete it. You can remove that either through editing or like you can go to Google Photos on your Pixel 6 and then remove it from there. Another feature that they added is face unblur, which uses the main camera and the ultra wide camera, and then they both of them takes a photo and then they blend the photos together. So the ultra wide takes I think slower slower photos, so the face is not blurred. So that's how it does the technology. And then another thing is motion mode, which adds motion to photos. The example they showed during the presentation is this lady in the subway in New York, and the photo is originally like static, but with motion mode they added like lines to show the motion. These are things I think when they were presenting I was like, oh cool, this is cool. But then again, in like having it being October 20, in hindsight, like how often do you use these? You probably use it one or two times. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I think these are stuff that you kind of on paper and upon launch, like it sounds so cool, like something you can probably show to your friends, like a party trick or something like that, and say, hey, you have Google Pixel, and this is what we can do. But the thing with that is, how often will you use it? And I think off the top of my head, my best example for it is some of the weird features that Samsung added a long time ago with their Galaxy devices, which at the time were like, oh, these are cool. And a lot of it has been added like to phones now, like swiping. I think it's swiping left or right to take a screenshot, right, or like picking up phone calls and that kind of stuff. But for day-to-day use, you really won't use it much unless you're that type of person. So I'm not sure how this will play out for like people in regular day-to-day use. Another thing they added was real tone, which they've improved the adjustment of the photos depending on your skin tone. As far as if I remember correctly, they had like a darker skin tone person like had like explained like why it was necessary for this to happen. And it kind of makes sense because like the full phones tend to like brighten things up, but that doesn't necessarily mean a good thing for like different skin tones. These are things that the phone adds. Another thing that Tensor can do is live translate, which you know it translates while you do stuff, which I think is pretty cool. From what I've seen is like there are people that do like interviews and then it automatically translate it into text. So if you're like doing interviews, for example, you're on a press junket or whatever, you basically just put it there and then it'll just translate it into text on the spot, and that's pretty cool. But again, it's another feature that you probably won't use, you know, every day. And this is the first phone that to run on Android 12 out of the box. Just to wrap it up, the Google Pixel 6 starts at $599, with 128 gigabytes of storage. The Google Pixel 6 Pro starts at $899. These are US dollars prices, by the way, with a 128 storage as well. It's a beautiful phone. I want to use it, but it's not available in the Philippines.
Yeah.
One thing that I like about the Pixel series is you get the base, you get stock Android. And stock Android is just beautiful.
Yep. I would agree.
It's, yeah. And based on what I've seen from Android 12, the material U stuff, it looks so pretty. Things like...
With the new implementation of material now, I think they changed quite a bit now.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, for example, you have you set your wallpaper, it's gray. You know how most widgets and stuff on your screen just have their own color? I think with Material U, it can adapt the color from your wallpaper to match it. So it's like really, cool and stylish. And like, good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Because I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I really care about my icons. I'm very selective with my icons and how I design my and the widgets I put on my phone, because you know, gotta look gorgeous, man.
That's right.
Nowadays it kind of gives you an idea of like the person, and you know, it gives you kind of more of an idea of the person. Phones nowadays. So like my wallpaper right now is Dreamcast from my favorite K-pop group.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, it'll be cool to have my widgets draw color from my phone, from my wallpaper.
Just automatically shifts naman eh, no?
Yeah. From what I've seen, I don't think I'm getting Android 12 ever.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, I know the reason why. Yeah. And unless you change your your phone.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's. Is it too controversial to mention?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a fact.
It's
no?
It's right out there. So for those that are listening, I have a Mate 30. It is the first Huawei device to not include Google. So I'm just the unfortunate guy that has the phone that won't get Android 12. So you know, that's like.
Right. I mean, for at least for those of you who have Mate 30 and above, the closest that could happen there is for the Harmony OS to adapt to whatever AOSP version of Google that it would have. Kasi diba, it's running on an Android open source platform, no? So
yeah.
If usually this platform conforms to the latest version. Mm-hmm. Pero you don't get all like the vanilla thing.
Yeah.
So it's quite unfortunate for you, Mr. Ronquillo, that you will not get a taste of something of equal value.
Mm-hmm.
It could be better, but I don't know.
But you know, I'm not complaining. The camera is still amazing.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, I would not complain of that.
Yep. So that is the Google Pixel 6 and 6 Pro.
Now, Pixel 6, yep. Anything you want to add?
Pixel 6 maxes out at 90 hertz refresh rate.
Oh, all of them.
Pixel 6 Pro. 6 Pro is 120.
Ah, 120. Okay, at least there.
And kind of visually, the Pixel 6 has bezels on all the sides. Like, not thick, but it's not like the Google Pixel 6 Pro that has a curved screen. If you guys are curious what things I'm saying look like, they're all on gadgetfilipinos.net. You guys can check them out.
Yes.
With all the details there. And all of the stuff we talk about are all there.
You can go check it out. And if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, link is in the description.
So, let's go.
Yep. So that's a Pixel 6 running on Tensor processor or chipset.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of chipset, we now have a new one, from Qualcomm, mid-range and budget chipsets, and to be discussed by Eman, sir.
Hello. Ah, yan. So I just learned that the New World is now up. So I'm currently
playing New World. No?
Yeah, naglagin lang ako.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And anyway, add lang for to the Pixels, no. I think that you know that the Pixel 6, you know, more than the Pro, I think the Pixel 6 is the better value overall, no, for its price. For that price, and then another thing, I'm not sure if Ram already mentioned, but there was a feature in the camera called Magic Eraser.
Yeah, I did.
So that's one of the most impressive things about it, because that's like you can do that on the phone now, like, diba? You can just remove things or people from your photo, and the AI will, you know what's supposedly there behind them, no? So and that's really, really amazing. So I think for one, the Pixel 6 is like a Pixel, yeah. These new Pixels are like Google's, you know, it's the most Googled phones. No, they're parang it showcases the power of their computational photography and, you know, AI, which they are, you know, have been investing a lot on. And you know, it's really, really great sana nga if you know, if it was really available to more markets. No? It's just the only thing that's I guess it's the only thing that's, you know, it would be nice to experience it, but yun nga, wala eh. So yeah. Anyway, moving to that topic, the new chips from Qualcomm. Let me just minimize my new world. Right. So we have actually four new chips from Qualcomm. So not really new. Some of them are just plus versions of their previous chips. So the first one is the Snapdragon 778G Plus. Okay. So remember that, you know, we had the Snapdragon 778G, and now meron na siyang Plus. Okay. So I'm not sure what's with their naming convention, why they use the Plus instead of a Pro, but you know, it's there. So what do you actually get from these things? So the new 778G Plus, meron siyang yung Cryo 670 core niya is actually boosted to 2.5 GHz, so it's a faster core. And then the new GPU, the 624L, Adreno 624L. So it now offers 20% improved performance. So we're actually looking forward to seeing this chip in you know, the newer mid-range phones, and hopefully they deliver. It will be very nice to compare the performance, the gaming performance of this new chip compared to the previous one. And then we also have the Snapdragon 695, which is another 6-nanometer processor, and it offers mmWave 5G support, and it actually benefits from an upgraded Cryo core. So from the Cryo 560, it's now a Cryo 660, which they claim delivers 15% better CPU performance. And then the Adreno 619L has also been upgraded to a 619. So I actually thought that it was the other way around, but apparently the 619 is the better version, mm-hmm. which actually delivers 30% better GPU performance. So that's a lot. Now 30% is a lot.
That's a lot.
So, well, if you bought something with a 695 today, then, well... unfortunately, EOL
then. Grabe. Oh no.
Yeah, so yun, it would be, you know, these numbers are, of course, you know, of course they're meant to promote these numbers, but of course the only thing to do is really to see, no, whether this actually translates to actual real world performance, no? Kasi minsan yung mga ganyan pagdating sa actual game, hindi naman, no? Or there's a difference, kasi there's always maraming kasi factors that affect, you know, performance, not just, you know, the hardware. So the software, your connection, diba? Temperature, optimization ng game for the actual chip. All of those things come into play, no? So we'll see. Hopefully, one of the brands which we'll be mentioning later will be delivering devices with these chips, no? And then next is we have the only 4G SoC among the lot, the Snapdragon 680. It's also a 6-nanometer chip, and it gets an upgraded GPU from the Cryo, CPU core from the Cryo 260 to the 265, and it uses an Adreno 610 GPU. And then I think that this one will be coming to the lower mid-range phones. 680. And then we also have another budget chip, the Snapdragon 480 Plus. So, may plus na siya ngayon. It uses the same Cryo 460 core and Adreno 619, but it's boosted, no? I think the CPU is boosted from 2.0 GHz to 2.2 GHz, so that's a bit more, 200 MHz bit more of performance. And then it supports displays up to 1080p plus, so Full HD plus displays and 120Hz refresh rate. So this is something big, no? Kasi budget phones, usually when you look at budget phones, they're usually the highest you could probably get is around 90Hz. Yeah, 90Hz, no? And now there's a new chip that, you know, supports 120Hz. So that means 120Hz is coming to the budget segment, and that's really good. That's really big. No? And I think the question though is that can this chip actually do that 120, do justice to that 120Hz support, no? Because even if you have support for 120Hz, it doesn't mean that you'll get 120 frames, no? It's sometimes it's gonna be dependent sa game yan. The game should support it in the first place. Sometimes you get around 70, 80. That so hopefully we can see really a really good performance from this. And also it also has a XSI modem with support for sub-6 and mmWave 5G networks. So 5G is also coming to
the budget
segment. So it's a really, you know, it's a really exciting thing if you're, you know, because you remember years back, you know, you wouldn't have imagined that budget phones, you know, when you have a budget phone, parang the expected performance is really, ito lang yung kaya niya, low settings, matic, low settings, it can't run some games, it can't even, you know, it can't even store some games, you know, due to the limitation of storage, no? Because budget phones usually have very, very low storage, and that already gets eaten up by the OS. So, say 64 or 32, hindi yung 32, you only get like 20. So, so yeah, so it's gonna be very, very exciting, no? Looking forward to the budget segment, and of course, the mid-range segment for these improvements. For the companies or brands that are eyeing these processors. So, the source said that, you know, the SD Snapdragon 480 Plus, minamata siya ni HMD Global. So, we're looking at Nokia phones. Yeah, Nokia phones. Which is, you know, their thing. You know, they usually come up with these phones na budget segment. But, they're more into optimization. So, and regular security updates. Mm-hmm. That's their game. So it's gonna be exciting for that. And then Oppo is actually looking at the Snapdragon 695. And then Xiaomi is not only looking at the Snapdragon 695, but also the 778G Plus. No, so it's probably gonna be the next chips that we'll see on their next mid-range and budget offerings, right? No? And then there are other companies then like Motorola, Vivo, and Honor. Those are no mention of Samsung or Huawei, but I'm pretty sure, you know, those companies will also be having these in the future at some point. No?
Yeah, probably further down the line.
Yeah, they'll be moving on from the current. Because probably some of these companies have, if I remember correctly, they order these chips in advance, no, with a certain allocation, no. Baka hindi pa ubos. So nag-uubos pa. So baka ito na yung next. Hopefully these won't get affected by, you know, the global silicon shortage that we're having.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That could also affect pricing din kasi. So, so we'll have to see whether, for example, a 778G was, sabihin natin, price at around 22-23. Will this one be priced the same, or will this one price a bit higher or very high? So we don't know, but hopefully that's the thing, that's the most exciting thing about, you know, these processors, no? And yeah, we can only look forward to better mid-range and better budget phones from now on. So again, the line from the mid-range to the flagship will be parang didikit na naman. So kasi ngayon, di ba, before we never really parang imagine that, you know, mid-range phones would be able to perform the way they're doing now. So you don't even need a flagship now. Parang if you just want to have a decent experience with games, even the more demanding ones, just get a higher mid-range phone. Sometimes that would do.
The chipset makers are really closing in the gap. So yeah. Para talaga mapupuwersa yung mga brands to really up their ante.
I just really hope now that for the brands, you know, I just hope they change that strategy of sticking to the same chip for like 3 generations. Ano yun? Parang hindi na kasi siya sulit eh. I mean, parang you're not getting the price that you're paying for.
Unless you're in the flagship market na wala masyadong upgrade talaga.
Kasi some brands do that eh. I think people already know which those brands are. But it's really frustrating to me when I see that, no? That, you know, some brands use the same chip for and then they just justify it with and other things. But, you know, it just feels so underwhelming, no? That there are newer chips available and then you still get the same old one. Diba? So yeah, I
think even as a consumer, that's not too much into hardware. When you see, like, for example, I'm comparing the previous device and this device.
Yeah.
If I see that there's stuff that are the same, I'll be like, then why am I getting the new one?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And it feels a bit underwhelming talaga. Is this really new? Parang, you know, yeah, sure, the camera's better, the battery's a bit bigger, but at the end of the day, performance is, you know, the chip also has the ISP that also, you know, determines one of the factors that determines image quality. So, and you know, the performance is what determines yung overall user experience mo apart from the optimization of the UI. So, kumbaga, walang kwenta kung may battery ka nga, but everything is stuttering, no? Diba? If you have 5 days of battery life, but you can't even play something, diba? Right? Diba? Wala. Diba? So, in these days, you know, four phones are becoming more and more, well, all around eh. Parang no longer are there na parang, oh, we're good at the camera. And that's it. Parang ganun. Now it's more of parang sino yung brand who can bring out the best phone in every category, no? And every bit of it, from the camera that's designed to the battery. So
nowadays, it's all about killing flagships, apparently.
Yeah.
So, flagship killers.
But again, you know, at the end of the day, the winners for these new releases are the consumers. You know.
Yeah.
You get better phones. Fully. Hopefully. Yeah. better phones at better prices. Hopefully. Yeah, and better user experience. And you can just imagine, you know, 1 to 2 years from now down the road, ano pa yung pwedeng mangyari, di ba? What kind of performance will we be getting from future mid-range phones? That's it for me.
It only gets better and faster.
Yeah.
Sakto-sakto, kasi yan yung vision lagi ng Intel, which is actually just launched. Bro, they just launched it, no? Sobrang fresh na fresh, Intel Alder Lake and Z690 motherboard, sakto. Mr. Spicer Grandsir, take it away, sir.
Okay, so really big news. So ang daming news from the processor, diba? From what Eman said. And now, it's the desktop's turn with Intel Alder Lake. So first things first, I want to clarify na Intel uses the marketing name Intel 7 process, but it's not built on the 7 nanometer. It's still the 10 nanometer process. Okay? So...
What?
Yes. So, marketing ano lang siya na Intel 7 process. So, akala niyo 7 nanometer. Matalino din sila eh, kasi hindi nila ginamit yung nanometer name para hindi sila maapuyan ng mga enthusiasts or users.
Oh, so, yeah.
Of course, the new Alder Lake, yung mga bagong CPUs are 6 variants, but it's basically your i5, i7, and i9 na key. And then yung the remaining 3 are the KF versions, which are the no integrated GPU, no integrated GPU versions. So, what's unique about Alder Lake is the core design or core layout, which is frankly the first innovation we've seen in Intel in 6 to 6 years. So basically since Skylake or since DDR4 technology. No, so Alder Lake CPUs have two kinds of cores. You have the performance cores or P cores for short, and then the efficiency cores or E cores. So anong pinagkaiba nitong dalawang cores na to? So for performance cores, these are the cores that you would want to use for demanding tasks or foreground tasks like games, rendering, or kung ano yung active application na nakabukas na pinagtatypan mo. Basically, what your window is focused on or what app needs the most power. And then efficiency cores are for the less priority or less powered tasks, specifically background tasks such as virus scan, Windows update, or kunyari nag-download yung Steam mo, nag-update ng New World. Tama ba na sa Steaming New World?
Oh yeah, tama. Yeah,
maglalaro.
Wala pang New World to, okay, pwede pa natunin.
So how do you know which is which, no, for performance cores or e-cores? So a sample scenario would be kung how these cores work hand in hand would be if you're streaming New World. So New World would run on the p-cores kasi nga it's the heavy workload, while the streaming software like XSplit is assigned to the E core since you only need a few cores for streaming, diba, for the encoding process.
Yeah.
So the question is, how does each of these processes or the apps get assigned to the P or E cores? So Intel also included dun sa chip the Intel Thread Director. So as the name suggests, the Thread Director is an OS scheduler which detects the kind of workload an app is doing and tells the operating system which cores is best suited for the task. So, ayun, pag detect niya, okay, this is an antivirus scan, dito ako sa e-cores, hindi ka ganun ka-importante. So, but the catch here is the Intel Thread Director only provides information to the OS. So, it does not tell na, or it doesn't enforce, no, so it will be up to the operating system if it will follow the recommendation by the Thread Director. So that's why in Intel's announcement or video, the operating system they used in their benchmarks for the 12900K versus the 5950X is Windows 11 Pro. So the issue here is, I believe sobrang konting tao lang yung naka-detect, is that if you're following the recent news about Windows 11 Pro, it was already announced that AMD Ryzen CPUs have a performance drop by about 15% when you use Windows 11 Pro.
Oh, no.
Dahil yun sa yes, so dahil yun sa OS scheduler ng Windows 11 Pro, naka-tune siya specifically for Alder Lake. So, but may future update naman na okay na for Ryzen. But the thing is, yung benchmarks na ginawa ni Intel with the 30% increase in performance, yung Ryzen 9 5950X, handicap pa yun kasi nga it's not working properly with Windows 11. 'Di ba?
Okay.
So,
pero so nasa pipeline na yun
yung benchmarks. Yes, nasa pipeline na yung update, but I don't think most reviewers will test Alder Lake in Windows 11 Pro kasi nga ang daya naman kung magbibigay ka ng handicap
Apple
for yes.
Oh.
Okay, so architecture aside, you also have improvements such as PCIe Gen 5, which is walang ganong taong excited kasi walang device naman na na-announce alongside the new Gen 5 bandwidth, which is basically double than PCIe Gen 4. So I don't think we'll see new devices that will support Gen 5 this year. So next year, we're excited to see our RTX 4000 series, baka Gen 5 na yan. Mm-hmm. And of course, the new AMD 7000 series. And of course, Intel's very own graphics card na dapat Gen 5 na, kasi Gen 5 na din yung ano nila eh. Yung motherboards nila, right? So, yeah. Okay, aside from Gen 5, you also have the new DDR5 technology or DDR5 memory. So, what's an upgrade for DDR5 is its power management interface. Hindi na siya sa motherboard, nasa modules na siya directly. So, basically, less maarte na yung motherboard mo on which RAMs are capable, no? So, meaning, if the power management is now on the chips themselves or the memory modules themselves, you have more control on the overclocking kasi, and especially using dual channel memory kasi one stick can run on say 1.5 volts while the other can run on 1.7 volts, so you don't need to run 1.7 volts for both modules to get XMP or something like that. So you can actually bin which memory modules are very power efficient. So that's great for overclockers and especially for troubleshooting, no? Kasi if you want to overclock, yan yung pinakasakit sa ulo mo for memory overclocking. And of course, DDR5 also comes with XMP 3.0 or yung bagong XMP standard ni Intel. So what's good about this is that it now comes in 3 presets na sineset ng manufacturer. So dati diba, it's either if 3000 MHz yung XMP mo or max rated memory mo, you can get XMP 3000 na setting and then XMP 2666 siguro. Mm-hmm. So now it's 3 profiles. Siguro it depends na kung which is more efficient for you. But it also comes in 2 user profiles, so may blank space siya to save your own profile. So okay, you can now directly save your overclocks to the memory itself rather than on the BIOS of each motherboard. So it goes hand in hand with the new power management interface na okay, I know the best settings for this specific memory module, I can now save it here. Ganun din with the other sticks. And now if you want to change motherboards, hindi mo na kailangang i-dial sa motherboard mismo to see if it's supported or if the motherboard controller can now support the speeds. So it's all on the memory itself na. So again, which is great, especially for overclocking. And aside from XMP, no, so Intel also has options for the not-so-enthusiast gamers. So you also now have Dynamic Memory Boost. So Dynamic Memory Boost is, as the name suggests, is basically the boost frequency or turbo boost technology but for memory. So DDR4 or DDR5 will now switch from the basic JEDEC speed. So yung basic JEDEC speed is the default speed pagkasaksak mo ng RAM. So for DDR4 it's 2133, 'di ba? So kailangan mo pang iset for XMP. But with Dynamic Memory Boost, if your workload now needs to or if your workload is now RAM dependent, Intel or the Dynamic Memory Boost will now auto switch the frequency to a higher clock if needed. So this is better, this is good for power delivery management. So hindi na iiyak yung ating mga Meralco boys especially, diba? And if you're only browsing Chrome or sabihin mo lang nagdi-Discord ka, the RAM can actually run lower, saving you a lot of power, di ba? And if you need to game or if you need to run apps which the memory is very much needed, such as rendering, Intel can now boost it to a higher frequency when needed. So it's more on efficiency. So to round it up, aside from the new enthusiast heavy features, Intel also included the ease of life or quality of life features such as yun nga, yung mga automatic boosting technology, the OS scheduler and such. And of course with the Z690 chipset, it basically comes in the with new connectivity. So most boards are now AXE or Wi-Fi 6E motherboards, and they support up to 10 USB 3.2 Gen 2 speed, so that's around 20 Gbps per USB connection. So masaya tayo mga nagda-dongle pa or any USB hubs. So generally mas maraming USB ports dapat ang Z690 motherboards. And of course for those who have their budget in mind, you also have Z690 motherboards that can now support of course DDR4 memory, so you don't need to buy expensive DDR5 memory na madalas 32 gig configurations lang yung available for pre-order right now, which is at $360. So medyo mabigat sa bulsa yung pag-jump to the new platform, but DDR4 motherboards can lessen the damage no to your wallet. And I think that's about it for the roundup. For me, we have the 12900K here, but my problem is I don't have the cooler yet. So since the AlderDig CPUs are now using the LGA 1700 socket,
ibang
the cooler spots are now longer. So I am waiting for mounting brackets from two brands before I can start benchmarking. Yes,
so you, excited na ako magsaksak na.
Yes.
You can see that you can't use it to the Alder socket.
Grand question pala. Yung smart scale, yung smart thing na yun sa memory, yung sa memory sa clocks.
Yes.
Did Intel say if you can do it manually? Like
what do you, if you want
assign,
to say?
Can you assign a boost frequency for each application that you're running?
No, the option
kasi for example, gusto ko pag nanonood lang ako ng gamit ko VLC, low power lang. Pero pag gusto ko pag nag-muse dash ako, high power. Yan, kahit hindi naman kailangan.
The option is available sa BIOS, so I guess the decision to run low memory or high memory frequency
kasi
will depend on the Intel Thread Director din siguro.
Kasi parang ang concern ko doon is how intelligent is it really? I mean, how accurate is it? How will it, you know, parang how would it, will it 100% automatically accurately detect that the app you're using needs a power or a higher frequency or a lower speed or lower frequency, no? Or parang less power, more power, parang ganun.
Mm-hmm. Siguro it depends on parang kung sinong app yung kumakain ng memory. I think that's the basic detection algorithm, but as far as I know, walang AI capabilities ang AlderDig to detect that yet. So I think baka ang mangyari diyan, I think it's up to the motherboard manufacturers to include some sort of support or siguro since the new DDR5 memory modules comes in a total of 5 profiles, no, 3 presets and 2 user specific, baka the motherboard manufacturer can support frequencies na or configurations na first profile is the maxed out one. Second profile is for low capacity but high bandwidth one. Then the other profile is for high capacity one but lower timings, no? So
yeah.
Baka pwede siya for Chrome, and maybe it will depend on the CPU na if which profile to select. So kung gusto niya anong XMP profile. But yeah, I think those are one of the hard questions on DDR5. Mm-hmm. Especially that I think sa mga nakita ko with other reviewers, dalawang brands pa lang ang may DDR5 samples or nagpakita ng DDR5 samples sa mga reviewers, which is Kingston and G-Skill. So from other memory brands, wala pa akong nakikitang live or retail products. So sobrang sobrang rare ng mga DDR5 modules, kaya din sobrang mahal nila at around $300.
Oh gosh.
I see.
Okay. Damang ko na yun. Pag-iyak ko next year, alam mo yun. Parang hindi ko muna gagastusin yung 13th month pay ko. Alam mo
yun. Oh, even if... So you're saying even if I'm able to upgrade to 12th gen Intel and the Z690, I'm not gonna be able to maximize the RAM slot.
Unlike Skylake, di ba dati kasi with Skylake, you have boards that can support DDR3 or DDR4. The 2 out of 4 slots can support DDR3 while the rest of the slots can support DDR4. But the thing is, with the Z690 boards na, may specific models na DDR4 variant talaga. So, for example, with me is the Aorus Z690 Elite AX DDR4. So, this board is specifically for DDR4, DDR4 memory. But may counterpart din siya at around parang 2,000 pesos higher na DDR5 naman na. So, it's basically the 1:1 except for the DDR4 for the memory support. So I think you have to choose right off the bat if you want to go all in with the new DDR5 memory, or tipid muna with DDR4 and then upgrade ulit later on with the new motherboard and memory pair.
Yeah, that's kind of tough to choose from.
Oh well, I think I have to think think about my upgrade path for next year. I upgraded last year, so I don't think I'm pretty happy with what I'm using right now as of the moment. So, but if Intel is currently promising a lot of, you know, good things, especially in terms of performance, and siguro as per if I will be advised by Grant, no, kung bubudulin niya ako to.
Actually, I have some pricing of the 12900K, but my price information is from parang resellers na, so gray market stores.
It could still be
so it's
cheaper
not,
pa.
Dapat with official stores, it's cheaper or official distributor. And I believe this doesn't go against the NDA naman, since it's second-hand prices or basically marked-up prices, no? So the SRP for the 12900K is at $589, which is dapat less than 30,000 lang, di ba?
12,900 kita.
Yes. $589 SRP.
Okay.
So, 25 to 30K in a perfect utopia.
I mean, yeah, but you pad about 20 to 30% more if you are going.
What I got from these stores is that yung 12900K na 3 variant, so you don't have the retail packaging, so parang magmumukhang smuggled lang siya with the yung plastic cover lang. It will cost around 35 to 40K daw.
Damn!
So, medyo mabigat siya.
I see.
And the thing is, with since we are here in the Philippines, unfortunately, this is in no way, I believe, Intel's fault nor the store's fault, no. It's the fault of the middleman between the brand and the store, which is the distributor. Na the distributor sells the CPU alongside the motherboard and the RAM. So the problem is you probably don't have the choice to get your desired bundle or to go tingi-tingi. Diba, na kaya kong munang CPU memory muna, then sa ibang store ko bibilhin yung RAM. I think no choice ka pumunta sa isang store mismo for all those three components. Uh-huh. And since it's LGA 1700, you might also need to buy a new cooler, which is another separate issue.
Jesus.
No, since it's a transition platform, no, it's what we call it. So, a quick rundown would be, if you want to upgrade, so you can set 40K for the processor itself, plus 25k for an ideal motherboard. That's the DDR5 motherboard. So 40 plus 25k, 65k, and then RAM at $300, so that's 15k. So we're at, wait, nawala ako dun sa computation. 40 plus 25, 65 plus 15, that's easy 80k.
Yeah.
If you're aiming for a full platform upgrade without the cooler, no, assuming you can retrofit the cooler or get something,
hindi mo process
get something ako, compatible, di ba?
Hindi mo process ng utak ko yung zero, yung mga zero, hindi mo din. EP lang naririnig ko, hindi ko naririnig yung K.
Yung K.
Anyway, Grant, yes. O nga pala, we talked about it earlier, no? Guys, you can probably expect more content about, you know, DDR4 versus DDR5 in the near future. We're not sure if it's gonna be a video or an article, but people will probably ask a lot of questions about it kasi, no? Like, do I need a new board? Do I need a new... ganyan. Yung mga ganyan, you know, probably some of the things we've already talked about, but... we want to provide you guys a quick guide, no, as to what you need to know about DDR5. So Grant will be coming up with that content, and yun, you can look forward to it.
Yeah. So I think actually that's my priority for DDR5.
Yep.
But the main problem is how to get it. I'm very much willing to buy for the sake of science, but according to the stores that I have talked to. Kahit sila wala pa daw. There's one brand, I don't know if I can say the brand name or parang syempre ayoko din naman malungkot yung mga fans ng brand na to, but there's one brand that said there's no allocation for the Philippines for 1 year. For this year. So we
Okay.
Well, 1 year might not be ano
far-fetched.
That's
true.
My hope and dreams
Everything is under the chip shortage.
Considering what happened to the GPUs, I won't be surprised.
Yes. So.
So what would you recommend to our listeners right now if they want to upgrade?
I'd say that Alder Lake is for people who are still running Skylake or Ryzen 1000 series 7th gen, yes. 6, 7, 8 gen, siguro yan. Okay. Alder Lake is for you, provided if you have an RTX 20 or RTX 30 GPU.
Yeah,
so if you have those or if you're ready to upgrade, then go. Now, for DDR5 versus DDR4, if you will go for a cheaper motherboard, no? I think it will depend on what kind of workload. If you're a professional, yung talagang nagre-render ka, if you need like 64 gigs or 128 gigs, then go for DDR5. Of course, the investment is worth it kasi nga, your time is ano eh, is your gold eh. So time is money. I forgot the other term, no. But yeah, you are billed by the minute kasi if you're that kind of professional, di ba? So pikit mata ka na lang gumastos. But if you're a regular gamer, then I believe the technology that comes with Alder Lake alone is worth it. So there's no need to shell out the extra DDR5. Technology, if especially you're not populating all of the slots, especially if you're not going to take advantage of the extra memory profiles that you can set, and especially if you're only parang rendering like 1080p videos from time to time, no, or you're not recording 4K video na hindi din yun yung ina-output mo for your renders, and yeah, I believe you can upgrade other stuff like a better GPU, since we don't see the prices going down any soon, especially with the new Bitcoin trend ulit na bumalik na sa all-time high status or about to break a new all-time high, especially with altcoins, NFTs, etc. And ayun nga, so hindi ka pwedeng bumili ng tingi-tingi. So by the time you have your money ready, say 50 to 80k ready, depending kung gusto mo ng i5 to i9, you can decide kung anong available in the market. You can't decide right now na okay, ito yung bibilhin ko, then come your ipon or savings. Mag-iiba na of course yung status ng market by the time. So I think it's best to ask professionals, or best to ask us again pag okay na kayo, yung pag bukas na bukas bibili na kayo. Ayan. But of course, you can always use the most powerful card in any card game, which is the credit card.
Ang ganda.
Ang ganda.
Yeah. Well, you just have to be mindful of your expenses. But, you know, it's your money, so...
Isipin mo lang kung investment siya o hindi.
Actually, that's a good...
expenditure talaga siya.
Kasi the thing is, ayun pala, I want to add, no, it's like nakabili ka nga ng sports car pero wala kang pambili ng gas. So if you can buy Alder Lake, then mamaya wala kang pambili ng games to play it with, di parang sayang in a way.
Actually,
but
if you really need the FPS upgrade.
Oh well.
So yeah, stay tuned on November 4 for the review embargo. Sana umabot kami. Sana dumating yung padala ng mga brands. Sana hindi kami ma-customs. Customs, baka naman.
Baka naman. Baka naman. Okay, oh, no, so right. I guess, wow, no? I guess yun na kailangan ting isipin kung are we going to jump in and, you know, get into the upgrade trend again by next year, but it's not going to be an affordable upgrade.
Yeah,
for sure. That is for sure.
But
interesting topic. That's for our main topic for this episode, no? And for those of you who are thinking of upgrading, please let us know, no? Please share your thoughts by sharing this podcast. And then please tag us as well, because we can respond to you. And maybe if you have any questions, you can visit our Facebook page. And you can also message Mr. Grandsor if you have any questions regarding that matter. Sobrang ganda ng ating topics. Again, just to give you guys a rundown of this episode, we talked about Facebook's new holding company's name, Meta. We talked about the Google Pixel series, the new Qualcomm mid-range and budget processors, which, as mentioned by Eman, will be bringing in a lot of features that are normally found on flagship devices. At syempre, yung Intel Alder Lake chip processors and Z690 boards. And as mentioned by Grant, hopefully during the embargo lift, no, dumating na sa amin yung mga parts needed in order for us to complete our benchmark. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for our 9th episode. We're nearing the end of our first season, guys. Piruin mo nga naman.
Yeah, that's cool.
On behalf of Blip Media and Gadget Pilipinas, we wish to thank you for always supporting us in all our channels. Siyempre, nandiyan yung YouTube, website, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at saka yung Twitch ni Ram. This has been Gian of Gadget Pilipinas, and we have Eman, Ram, and Grant. Guys, thanks a lot for joining. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Okay, Craig.